I want to just share with you this morning. I used to work in an office, and the young lady that I worked with, whenever I would question something or say, I wonder about this or what something is, she'd say, Google it. And right away, she'd get on the computer and she'd Google it and she'd turn around and go, well, Leah, and you know, this is what the answer is. But honestly, today, how do we find anything out? Gone are the days when companies place a listing in the Yellow Pages, and I know there's probably just a few of us in this room that still recall what Yellow Pages are. And businesses would create ways to catch your attention so you'd be sure to call them when you had whatever service they needed. Today, how do we find out how to get a product or how to get something? We Google it. A very long time ago, when I was completing my bachelor's degree at the University of South Dakota, I would have to go all the way across campus to the library. And I'd have to camp out at the library. And I would have to research. And at that time, they had this thing called microfiche, which would have old archaic documents on it. And you would search so that I could find the information I needed for my term papers. There wasn't Google, so I couldn't Google it. I grew up in a house that in the hallway was a bookshelf. And on that bookshelf was this set of, I'm going to say 26, but there was probably a couple more than that, green and white books. It's called the World Book Encyclopedia. We don't have that now. You don't walk into a house and see that. Because what do we have? Wikipedia. You Google it. I say these things to you this morning because I'm faced with the word relevant. What is it to be relevant? It means closely connected or appropriate to what is being done or considered. Appropriate to the current time, period, or circumstances of contemporary interest. So why don't we have World Book Encyclopedia? Because it's not the time. We have Wikipedia, so we Google. Our world has been afflicted with poverty, with broken relationships, same-sex relationships, police shootings, homelessness, the opiate epidemic, the issues with the borders, politics, the list goes on and on and on. But this is the world we live in. We live here, we work here, we raise our families here. Our world's not perfect. In fact, it's pretty far from perfect. On a personal level, it can be really hard for us to avoid conflict on a daily basis. If you get into a conversation about politics, you're sure to have some conflict. Just about everywhere we go, someone's words or actions can offend us. This is the relevant world we live in. You know, I stand before you this morning, and my mind is all a jumble with relevance of today. Sometimes I get in conversations with either my family or the other night at youth, and I can't remember which youth said something to me, and I go, oh, I am so far behind the times, I don't know what that is, and I don't even remember now what it was they said to me. But it was like, I don't know, because it's not relevant to me, but it's relevant to the day. Now, don't misunderstand me. The world has moved forward. We've had some amazing changes. We have people who can live and survive in a space station out there in the galaxy. And not just for a few days, for years they survive. I no longer have to call you on the phone and have a cord that can reach all the way across the room. I don't even really have to call you. I can just text you, and at your leisure, if you so choose, you can return the text. We live in an upgraded culture. And we must have the latest and greatest. There was for a while in my house, three of the people in my house always had to have the latest and greatest phone when it came out. I've got to have it. It does this, this, and this. And I'm just like, I really just needed to call you or text you. That's it. But they needed a phone that did so much more, and so they would get the latest and greatest. But it seems that they found out that the problem with that is by the time they hit the door, there was a newer version and a better version already on the market. They could never keep up. But there's things about today that we all just love. Because honestly, who doesn't love Amazon Prime? You order in the morning, and by afternoon, your doorbell rings, and there it is. You know, what a wonder. And you never had to leave the house. Nor did you have to go and fight a crowd or someone who really didn't know how to work a cash register at Walmart. So it's all relevant. It's all relevant. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of miracles. I thank you, Lord, that you are in control. Lord, nothing of today will take you by surprise. And Lord, this morning, Lord, you have given me a word. And I ask, Lord, that you would just use me as your mouthpiece and let your word come forth. Let it flow out of me, Lord, onto fertile soil. Let our hearts be changed. Lord, we just thank you and be glorified here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let that sink in for just a minute. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We live in a world of change. Peaceful change, violent change, but it's all change. The world of religion is going through change. Sometimes some pretty far-reaching changes. We have to question and evaluate everything that's labeled Christian. You know, we think of Paul and Jeanette as they lead. And I know I've had conversations with Paul about, oh, this is a great song. You know, I've heard it on the Christian radio. And he might say, really? They're not Christian. Have you really listened to the words? So just because it's on the Christian radio doesn't mean it's Christian.
That's right.
Just because you come to church on Sunday morning doesn't mean you're a Christian. The faith of our fathers is no longer adequate for this younger generation. Morally, this generation is experiencing a revolution. Time-honored standards of decency, modesty, honesty are falling like dominoes. Some years ago, there was a Kansas senator who said, "Today there is a widespread devotion to the idea that nothing, absolutely nothing, can be allowed to remain the same. All things must change. And there is practically no consideration given to whether the change is good or bad, right or wrong, easy, difficult, necessary or unnecessary. All things must change." I love statistics, as probably most of you know. I love facts. And I don't know why that is, because I am not a mathematician. But I love statistics. And there was a group of adult Christians, and I'm going to use that word maybe loosely, that were polled. 63% of adults who say they're Christians believe in God with absolute certainty. 63%. 33% of those polled that called themselves Christians attended church services once or twice a week. Where's the other 66? 58% of them said they believed in hell. Only 33% of Christians said there is an absolute clear standard for right and wrong. 63% of Christians said homosexuality should be accepted by the church. 53% of them said that they were in favor of same-sex marriages. 33% say that humans have evolved. 53% say that abortion of any kind should be legal. These are people that call themselves Christians. I saw very interesting statistics. Everything seems to change in this world. When I was growing up, never even heard of homosexuality. Today, our kids in high schools, even elementary schools, have the LGBT group that, you know, is a priority that meets in the afternoon or whatever. Things have changed. And with that change, you know what else has come along? We accept it. We accept it. These things that Christians were polled on, these are relevant things of today. And as Christians, I'm just like, wow. As a Christian, you're not even sure if you believe in God, that he's really relevant. So what do you believe in? Why are you a Christian then? What is relevant? I have a Bible. This is an old world Bible. It's quite a treasure to me. It was belonged to my father. And what I love about this Bible, some may look at this and go, ooh, that's an ugly little Bible. I think this is the most beautiful Bible because I know that my father must have just wore it out reading it. But it was given to him in 1956. That was some time ago. It was even before I was born. So surely with all of the changes in this world, the Word of God in 1956 cannot be the same as today. It has to have changed. It had to have evolved. Man hadn't walked on the moon back in 1956. Shoot, my father wouldn't even have known what a cell phone was. And a computer would have taken up this entire room. Darlene? I'm going to ask that you would read Hebrews 13:8 out of that Bible. Oh no, they've stolen Hebrews out of the Bible. See? Told you, change. He hasn't read it in a while. 13:8, please.
Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
I read the same as my Bible here. Okay, so maybe 60 years really isn't long enough for change to have happened. I have a New Testament here. The copyright of this New Testament is 1882. Over 125 years ago. First automobile hadn't been invented yet. So you would have had to pick up your date in a horse and buggy if your dad would let you have the horse out that late. So what was relevant in 1882? American showman P.T. Barnum acquired the elephant Jumbo from the London Zoo. That was big news back then. Polygamy is made a felony by the Edmonds Act, passed by the United States Congress. It was in 1882. It was considered illegal. The U.S. Congress passed the 1882 Immigration Act. It applied towards China, mostly. And this is a big one, one that I so appreciate. Thomas Edison flips the switch to the first commercial electric power plant in the United States. Thank you, Tom. Pastor Maggie, I know a Bible that is this old cannot read the same as mine. So would you please read Hebrews 13:8?
Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
Again, it reads the same, just smaller print. Here are two Bibles older than many of us in this room, and yet the word reads the same. So I'm going to ask you, is the word of God relevant today?
Amen.
I've been in conversations with people that have maybe gone to this church, people that haven't gone to this church, young people. Some will say, well, that's not relevant to today. This was written thousands of years ago, so it's not relevant. And you've had conversations with young ladies and said, you know, the Bible tells us how we're to dress. It applies towards the young men too, but I usually address the girls. It talks about modesty and how we should dress, and yet they go, that's irrelevant. That's not today. I've read, as I was pondering this word, that some say if the church follows the instructions from the Bible and stands against same-sex marriage, it will become irrelevant. There are many who say the Bible isn't relevant to our lives today. Maybe you're one of those people that say, this applies, but this doesn't. This bit applies, but this doesn't. And I've heard people say, who've attended this church, the Bible doesn't apply to me, it's not relevant. Some might say the Old Testament isn't relevant. And I'm going to ask you this, those of you who might be fans of Star Wars, is there not a Star Wars 1? And what are we on now? Star Wars 503? I have no idea. But anyway, do we not need a 1 to have a 2? A 1 and a 2 to have a 3? A 1 to have a 2, 3, and 4? Isn't everything based on 1? So why would the Old Testament not be relevant today? Isn't the New Testament based on the Old Testament? So when someone says to me, that's not relevant, that's the Old Testament, how can I have a second without a first? We want to always replace things with something that provides better performance. We want to exchange one possession for a greater, something that has better value or quality. Those that drive a car or have a car, when you go to trade in your current car, do you trade in for an older model, something that doesn't run? Doubt it. You want to upgrade. You want something better. Gets better mileage, gets whatever. You trade up. You don't usually trade down. As our culture changes, does the relevance of God's word diminish? Does our Bible need an upgrade? Some would say yes. Even though culture changes, you know what? Human nature doesn't. Human nature, or our human condition, doesn't change. Can I tell you that if you read about a woman who's jealous in the Bible, some 2,000 years ago, women today still get jealous.
Yes.
Same thing. So do men. So human condition doesn't change.
That's right.
God doesn't change either.
Amen.
I want us to turn to Psalm 119. 119 verses 89 through 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth, and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection. But your commandment is exceedingly broad. The passage of Psalm 119 affirms that even though culture seems to change, God's word is always relevant.
Amen.
Because it is timeless, it is life-giving, and it is perfect.
Amen.
It doesn't need an upgrade.
Amen.
The first word in verse 89 says, forever. God is eternal. His word is eternal.
Hallelujah.
Forever. It is forever settled. Can't change. The truth is verified in many other scriptures. Not only is God's word forever, it is fixed in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
God won't change it.
Amen.
He won't change it. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Forever. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3, verse 6 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The word of God can be used for correction. God's word is timeless because it is firm. Every word in this Bible is firm, and it is a word we can stand on.
Amen.
God's word is life-giving.
Amen.
A personal testimony is powerful when it's related to others. In verses 92 and 93, the psalmist gives his short, powerful testimony about the life-giving power of the word. He was apparently in a dangerous situation and would have died if it were not for God's word. Do you have a life-giving testimony? Do you have a testimony that can encourage others? This morning I shared with you the miracle that I felt God did, that I know that God did in me to be able to stand here before you. And not be in pain. I didn't do that because I think God thinks I'm something special. I did that because maybe there's something in your life that you're like, where are you, God? Because for 3 weeks I've like wondered, why, Lord, where are you? But again, he proves to me it's his time, not my time. That we can be encouraged by our life-giving testimonies of our brothers and sisters. God will use those events to encourage and help others. And this is only true, though, those circumstances you go through are of no value unless you relate it to how God's working in your life. God's word is to be relished, to be savored, to be cherished. Do you delight in his word? Job 23:12, he wrote, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." If you had to choose between spending time in the word or eating breakfast, which would you choose? Okay, maybe you don't want to answer that one. Would you choose nourishment for your soul? Do you think the nourishment of your soul is more important and the nourishment for your body? How often do you feed your soul? Do you wait till Sunday morning? You must wake up mighty hungry then, Sunday morning. The youth come to our house once a month. Somebody always is missing a Bible. So I go, well, where is it? I don't know, I can't find it. So you know what that tells me? They've not read their word, the word. And not just a day, in days, probably since the last time we came together. I don't know where my Bible is. I shared in children's church last week, we were talking about this and I had these statistics. And the statistics say that 1/3 of Christians read their Bible every day or on a weekly basis. 1/3. And there were 6 of us in there. We blew the odds away in our little group. But I said, only if we were going by what this statistic said, only 2 of you would have read your Bible every day. Of course, they fought over who that was going to be. It's me. I do it. What are you feeding your soul with then? What's on TV? Talk radio? The Christian music station? What are you feeding your soul with? God's word is to be savored because it imparts life to. God's word brought life to Ezekiel's dry bones and is able to bring life to our body and our soul. The word is able to bring abundant life to us. God's word transforms us by renewing our mind. You know, there's the Transformers out there. And the other night at youth, Michael said, Leah, can you find a picture of a bumblebee? And one of the youth said, oh, you mean one of the Transformers? Think about that, though. Transform. If reading this word could transforms you, what could you turn into? What could you turn into for God? Transforms us by renewing our minds. God's word is perfect. The psalmist realized the perfection of God's word was infinite and unmatched. The psalmist shows in the scripture that God's word is perfect. The word of God leads us to a point of surrender where we too say, I am yours. The word of God saves by producing faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word is to be sought. The word of God brings serenity. Have you ever had just one of those days where it's just chaos and your brain is just like, and you sit down and you open the word and a peace falls over you? God's word is to be sought. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, there are churches where you don't have to bring your Bible. I mean, and no one here checks you at the door to make sure you have your Bible. So, I mean, you don't have to bring it here. But I'm telling you, bring your Bible.
Amen.
How do you know without being in the Word that the person standing here isn't a liar? How do you know that?
That's right.
You hear on the news all the time, whether when something bad happens with the neighbor next to you, people say, oh, I would have never thought that. They were the nicest, caring person in the world. Trust them with anything. We should be seeking the word. You should bring your Bible. And I, for one, I really hate to get a new Bible. I have a husband who loves to get one yearly. I love mine because I write all through it. And I make notes when Pastor Mark preaches, so that when he preaches from that scripture again, I can compare to what he's... that's not what you said last time. Usually it's a whole different word the Lord has given him. But I write in mine. So I'm going to ask you, is the Word of God relevant today? Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It said that in a Bible from 1956 and 1882. And it says it in mine that I use today. Some of you might say, yes, of course it's relevant. But I would imagine there's some of you that still have doubts. Or want to say, well, Leah, that part of the Bible doesn't apply. But all I can do is share with you what the Bible says. I can't make you believe. I can just share with you what I know, what God has shown me. And I want you today to leave here with five reasons why the Bible is relevant. Number one, it is a living book. Sometimes you would see on the outside of your Bible, it's a living Bible. The Bible is God-breathed. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. How many of you don't want to be equipped for what you have to do? I'm sure that when Tom goes out to paint a house, he makes sure that he has good rollers and brushes and is equipped with the color paint that that customer wanted, because he wants to do a good work for them. Hebrews 4:12 says to us, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living and powerful. Kind of brings me back to becoming a transformer. If I'm reading this book and I'm transformed, boy, what power will I have? I won't need to shoot spider webs out of my wrists. I'll have greater power. Number two, the wisdom of the Bible is timeless. When we read the wisdom of Solomon in 1 Kings 3, God reveals to us the story of the two women with the baby, and the king suggests they cut that baby in half and share it. It's wisdom. Because the real mother stepped forward and said, don't, give it to her. In Mark 12, Jesus answers the question, is it lawful to pay taxes? In both of these scriptures, people are in awe. We stand in amazement today when we see a prayer answered. We go, God is so amazing. At prayer meeting this last week, we were talking about the great things that God was, that we already knew about from Cuba. And it's like, oh, we're so amazed. We stand in awe of what God will do. There were 8 suitcases full of supplies for the Cuban people. And we've heard where, through Cuban immigration or whatever it's called, things will come up missing, or whole suitcases will become missing. But you realize that we've been there 3 times, and every time all of our things have gotten through. Praise God. And we're in amazement that he could do that.
Yes.
We're in awe. The Bible is full of insight into the human condition. I mentioned that earlier. And you know, it's true today. As the Bible is written, it gives insight. Look at Proverbs. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom,
yes,
in the book of Proverbs. Number three, why the Bible is relevant. Accuracy of the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
Yes.
The Bible isn't a history or geography book. Although it contains historical and geographical details, fascinating that no factual data from the Bible has ever been disproved.
That's right.
Historians and archaeologists cannot prove anything contained in here is false. Science books in our schools today can be proven wrong. Discoveries continue to validate the facts that are in the Bible.
Amen.
That secular scholars once thought were wrong. Number four, the message of the Bible is clear, convincing, and listen to this word, current. It is clear, convincing, and current. The pursuit of the human race has always been to discover significance and meaning. We always say, I want to have purpose. I want to have purpose. So we want to have meaning in our lives, right? The Bible alone explains the original plan of God, starting in Genesis, in the Old Testament. How that original plan was corrupted, and how God has provided for man's restoration through the Son of Jesus. That message of faith has never, ever changed.
Amen.
It has gone on and will go on forever.
Amen.
If you wonder what is my purpose, read the Word of God. We all have a purpose. We all are needed.
Amen.
And number five, the values and truths of the Bible are timeless. There are those that say certain biblical teachings are archaic. Yet those same people give no reasons for rejecting the truth of the Bible other than their own personal opinions. Those who reject the Bible as irrelevant say the Bible no longer fits our culture. I'm going to disagree. Our culture has rejected the principles of the Bible. As change happens in our world, we begin to accept that change. The best way to counter those who say the Bible is irrelevant is really very easy. My dear brothers and sisters, you don't have to be this great speaker, this evangelist. It's very easy. Live the truth of God's word. Live it before people. Love people. Share your faith and pray for them. When you consider the characteristics of God's word, the logical and spiritual conclusion is that God's word is going to always be relevant. As we pattern our lives after the word, our lives become relevant. I want you to think about that. When I was growing up, there would be parties, and they'd be called the 50s parties, because that was what, oh, let's bring the 50s back. Now we're bringing back the 80s. You know what? I lived through the 80s. We could just leave them rest. We're always trying to bring back something that was. We've never had to bring this back. It's been the same. It's been the same. Live your lives according to the word, and it will become relevant. Google's a wonderful thing. You just have to be careful. You have to be careful. Double check, triple check,
yes.
Quadruple check sometimes your information, because people who call themselves Christians will put things on the internet that are so far from Christian. And unless you have fed your soul with the living word, you won't know that it's false information.
That's right.
The next time you want that newest and greatest, best thing, but your wallet says, you can't afford that, open the Word of God. Open the Word of God. It's alive, it's fresh, and it's going to be relevant, and it's going to transform you. It's going to transform you. Jeanette, the Word of God, is it relevant? I say it is. Some of you may still say no. When I handed Michael these scriptures, he was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of scriptures. And, you know, sometimes you let me free from Harvest Kids. I can look at the whole Bible instead of just a verse. But you know what? If it comes down to one verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The Word of God was the same, written the same in 1882, in 1956, and in 2019. It was the same Word. It didn't change. It didn't say that He was the same yesterday, today, and a couple days down the road. It said forever. Honestly, I don't know when forever ends. So it's got to be a long, long time from now. It's got to be relevant. Amen?
Amen.